Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the 2018 annual shareholder meeting for Aqua America. My name is Chris Franklin, and I'm the chairman and CEO of the company. And I welcome all of you to the Drexel Brook here this morning for the shareholders meeting. I'd like to begin by recognizing a man who many of you does not need an introduction, but Nick DeBenedictis. Nick is here in the front row. You want to stand up? Yep. As you know, Nick was chairman and CEO for many, many years and stepped down at the end of December as chairman and is now chairman emeritus on the board, remaining with us, and still is a very strong and leading force with us at the company, and obviously has taken the company to a new height over his 23 years of service. I want to mention just a couple of administrative items as we get going this morning. Before entering the room this morning, you should have signed in at the registration table. Everyone should also have a copy of the agenda and the rules of conduct for the meeting. If you have not signed in and registered or need an agenda, please raise your hand and one of the attendants will come and help you. I want to remind you that today's meeting is being recorded and will be posted on the company's website over the coming days. Copies of the meeting minutes from our 2017 annual shareholder meeting are available, and if you'd like a copy of today's minutes mailed to you, please leave your name and your address with one of the attendants out front. I will conduct the formal business portion of the meeting this morning, and then when that portion of the meeting is adjourned, I'll move on to reviewing some of the results from 2017, and then on to talking a little bit about our strategy. And following that presentation, there will be an opportunity to address management and ask questions if you have them. If you wish to ask a question at that point in time, please proceed to the nearest microphone. We'll get one to you. There's one over here. There's also one over here. And identify yourself as a shareholder or a representative of a shareholder, and please give us your name. We'd ask you to please restrict your comments to the agenda item that you're addressing and keep your comments brief so that everyone who wants to ask a question can do so. Now, in accordance with the company's bylaws, the notice of today's meeting and the internet availability of the proxy and materials, which were mailed by Broadridge Corporation, were distributed on March 29th, 2018 to all shareholders of record, and as of March 9th, 2018. I'm sorry, record date as of March 9th, 2018. This was the date fixed by the Board of Directors as the record date for shareholders entitled to notice and to vote at this meeting. This will be included with the record in today's meeting, and a copy of the shareholders entitled to vote at today's meeting is also out at the registration table. Mr. Peter Deskovich will act as our judge of elections and has taken his oath of office. Mr. Deskovich has confirmed that 85% of the 177,893,483 shares of common stock outstanding on the record date and entitled to be voted at the meeting are represented either in person or by proxy. Therefore, a quorum is present and the meeting will now come to order. I'll act as chairman for the meeting, and Chris Lunning here in the first seat in the first row will act as secretary. He is the company's general counsel. Outlined in the proxy are three proposals to be voted on by the shareholders this morning. The first proposal is the election of seven directors to serve until the 2019 annual meeting of shareholders or until their successors are duly elected and qualified. As set forth in the proxy statement, the following nominees have been proposed for election: Ms. Carolyn Burke, Mr. Nicholas DeBenedictis, Mr. William Hankowski, Mr. Daniel Hilferty, Mr. Wendell Holland, Ms. Ellen Ruff, and myself, Christopher Franklin. The directors' backgrounds and qualifications are explained in the proxy, and I will introduce each of these candidates later in the meeting. The second proposal is the ratification of the appointment by the Audit Committee and Board of Directors of PricewaterhouseCoopers LLC as the independent registered public accounting firm for the company for 2018 fiscal year. The board recommends approval of this proposal. The third proposal is the approval on an advisory basis of the company's executive compensation for 2017 as disclosed in the company's proxy statement. The compensation program you are voting on is basically unchanged from the plan that was overwhelmingly approved last year by the shareholders. The board recommends approval of this proposal as well. These three proposals are the only matters to be voted on by the shareholders at this morning's meeting. Before declaring the polls open for balloting on these matters, we will entertain any questions or comments specifically about these three proposals. If anyone has a question or comment specifically, again, about these proposals, please come to one of these two microphones and ask your question. Please identify yourself first and identify whether or not you are a shareholder. Are there any questions on these three proposals? Seeing none, I now declare the polls open for voting by ballot on these three proposals. If you have already filed your proxy, it would simplify the count if you would not fill out another ballot unless for some reason you'd like to change your vote. If you need a ballot, please raise your hand and an attendant will come and bring you one. While we wait for the votes to be tabulated, let me introduce you to the candidates for the board of directors, and I ask each of the directors to stand as I call your name and introduce you. Ms. Carolyn Burke was the Executive Vice President of Strategy at Dynegy Incorporated, having recently retired from that position. Ms. Burke has served as a board member at Aqua since 2016. She's a member of the Executive Compensation Committee and Audit Committee. Mr. Nicholas DeBenedictis is Chairman Emeritus of the Board, having retired as CEO of the company in 2015 and as non-executive chairman of the board in 2017. Mr. DeBenedictis was CEO from 1992 through 2015 and chairman of the board from 1993 through 2017. He is a member of the Risk Mitigation and Investment Policy Committee. Mr. William Hankowski is Chairman, President, and CEO of Liberty Property Trust. Mr. Hankowski has served as on the board since 2004, and he is a member of the Executive Committee, the Corporate Governance Committee, and chairs the board's Audit Committee. Mr. Daniel Hilferty has served as President and Chief Executive Officer of Independence Health Group, one of the nation's leading health insurers, since 2010. He became a director in 2017 and is our lead independent director. He's also a member of the Executive Committee and the Executive Compensation Committee and chairs the Corporate Governance Committee of the board. Mr. Wendell Holland is the former chairman of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission and now a principal at CFSD Group, LLC. Mr. Holland has served as an Aqua board member since 2011. He is a member of both the Corporate Governance and Risk Mitigation and Investment Policy Committees. Ms. Ellen Ruff is a partner with the law firm of McGuire Woods, LLP, and former president at Duke Energy. Ms. Ruff has served as an Aqua board member since 2006. She's a member of the Executive Committee, Corporate Governance Committee, and chairs the Executive Compensation Committee. And finally, for re-election, myself, Chris Franklin, Chairman and CEO. I am on the Risk Mitigation and Investment Policy Committee and chair the board's Executive Committee. Now it appears that everyone has submitted their ballots and therefore the polls are now closed. Is the Judge of Election ready to submit his report?
Yes, sir. I am pleased to report that all proposals before the shareholders have passed.
Thank you, Mr. Zgovich. For about 20 years, and thank you all for participating in the process today. For about 20 years now, we have been a multi-state utility, and throughout this time, we've always held our shareholder meeting here in, almost always in Delaware County, but always in Pennsylvania. And over the years, some of our shareholders from those other states have asked us if we would consider holding the annual meeting in one of our other states. We continue to contemplate moving that the annual shareholder meeting to future locations or other locations in the future. And of course, if we ever decide to do so, we will let you know in the form of the proxy. Is there any other business to come before the formal part of the meeting before we move on to the next part of the meeting? Is there any other formal business? Seeing none, I'll formally adjourn the meeting. Thank you. All right. This is the period of time when I get to talk to you a little bit about what's happening at the company and talk to you a little bit about strategy, introduce a couple of more people, and at the end of this brief presentation, we'll move into a period of time when you can ask some questions of our management team or of me about what's happening at Aqua America. So first, let me recognize the executive team. This 2017 was a terrific year. Results were very nice, and the company continued to make very, very good progress forward. So I'd like to introduce some of the folks on the executive team. First, Rick Fox. Rick, please stand. Chief Operating Officer for the company. Rick is responsible for all of our operating units in the 8 states. Chris Lunny, who I previously introduced, but is Senior Vice President and Chief Counsel of the company. Dan Schuler, who's Executive Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Development, and most recently named Deputy Chief Financial Officer, our future Chief Financial Officer. And of course, Dave Smeltzer, our Chief Financial Officer and Executive Vice President. Dave with the company 32 years. And once again, I'd like to recognize the management team for all of the effort that they've provided throughout the last year. So if I could ask the senior management team please to just stand up and turn and be recognized. Thanks, guys. I'm partial, but I believe we have the best senior management team in the utility industry right now, but I'll let you decide that by our results. And once again, the board of directors puts a tremendous amount of effort and work into making the company as successful as it is, and I'd like to once again just recognize our board of directors in the front row here too. Now, since 1986, Dave Smeltzer has been an important member of the company's management team. And since 1999, Dave has been our Chief Financial Officer. Through that period, the company has experienced significant growth and prosperity. And I think our auditors from PwC, along with our fellow managers, would all agree that Dave has successfully led our financial group here at the company for all those years. And he's provided transparency to our shareholders and our regulators. He's been thoughtful, and his decision-making has been precise, and it's really resulted in a continued very strong balance sheet and strong financial credibility in the market. On the management team, Dave has been an important leader. He's built a very strong team around him, and this team will make the transition from Dave upon his retirement this year to Dan Schuler. A very smooth and almost seamless transition. On a personal note, I'm going to miss Dave on a lot of levels. We've been good friends and colleagues for the 25 years I've been at the company. And so on behalf, Dave, of the board, the management, and the shareholders, thank you for your great service to the company as Chief Financial Officer for all these years. As we congratulate Dave on his announced retirement, he'll be with us through October of this year, and so we have plenty of time to continue to congratulate Dave and Debbie on their decision for retirement, but Dave will see us through the Pennsylvania rate case, which we'll talk about briefly in a few moments. Now, as shareholders, you would expect our management team to have depth so that as we have retirements or people leave for other reasons, it doesn't leave a problem. And I'd like to just give you a sense of some of that depth that we have at our company. Over the next 6 months, Dave will transfer his CFO responsibilities to Dan Schuler. Dan has been our Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer, Corporate Development, since 2015. Dan has his doctorate from Purdue University in engineering. He has worked in consulting, he's worked in banking, and now he's been a corporate executive for the last several years. His depth of knowledge in finance, his understanding of the business, and his management capabilities and his leadership capabilities are widely known. Dan will be a terrific asset to this company as our new CFO, and I'd like Dan to stand up and be recognized. Now, our company has grown over the years. As you know, when Nick started, and I started soon after Nick, the company was about a $100 million market cap company. Today, call it $6 billion market cap. So we've grown, had significant growth over the years. And as we've built our reputation in the market, we have been able to attract some real talent to the company and the management team. And our latest two hires are a great example of our ability to attract talent. Matt Rhodes, if you'll please stand. Matt Rhodes, we announced recently, will join us in June as our Executive Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Development, and he will replace Dan Schuler when Dan takes the CFO role upon Dave's retirement. Matt joins us after 11 years at Goldman Sachs as a Managing Director in Investment Banking Division, and we are very, very excited to have you join us, Matt. Thanks for being here today. Also joining us is our new Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer, Christina Kelly. Christina, please stand. Christina has not taken her role yet. She has accepted the role and resigned at AmerisourceBergen, where she's coming from, but she doesn't begin for another week yet. And so Christina has over 14 years of experience in HR and leading HR departments and executing business strategies. And we are so pleased to have you join us as well, Christina. Very excited to have you with us today. Thank you for being here. So the lawyers require me to give you a brief statement here, so let me just get through this. I'm required to let you know that matters discussed during this presentation may include forward-looking statements that involve risk, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results to be materially different from any future results expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please refer to our most recent 10-Q and 10-K and other SEC filings for a description of such risks and uncertainties. A recording of today's presentation and the slides will be made available on our investor relations website at aquamerica.com. So now, let's talk a little bit about the company. You know, as you turn the faucet on or take a shower in the morning, many of us kind of take for granted that the water will come out and be clean and be plentiful for us. But as you probably can imagine, there's quite a lot that happens behind the scenes to make water available, clean, for 24 hours, 7 days a week, and in fact, clean enough that even the most vulnerable in our society can drink it at any point. Providing water and wastewater services for nearly a million customers, frankly, is what we do. And it's a process that involves thousands of miles of water main, surface water filtration plants, wells, storage tanks, and more than 1,600 employees. We do this service with great care because it's essential not only to the environment, but also the health and well-being of our communities where we serve. And our employees, I have to say, come to work every day mission-based. They really believe in the mission of Aqua America. In most of our country now, however, the infrastructure has been neglected in many ways, and the reliability of our water and wastewater service is sometimes in doubt because of the lacking investment. In fact, the American Waterworks Association estimates that nearly $1 trillion of investment will be needed over the next 20 years just to improve and maintain our water systems. Thankfully, in 2017, the importance of investing in infrastructure really has become part of our national conversation, including at the highest levels of government. In September, I had the honor of addressing the Congress in one of their committees, where I explained to congressional leaders the important role that regulated companies like ours can play in helping cities and towns across the country improve their water systems and wastewater systems by making the necessary investments. Aqua's been doing this now for 132 years, and our scale and expertise makes us a leading force in upgrading the country's infrastructure. Let's talk a little bit about what happened just last year. In 2017, we maintained the same high level of operational standards of excellence, including having the safest year on record. That's a big deal for us. We also had a record year in environmental compliance, and I'll talk a bit about that in a moment. We invested a record amount of capital, $478 million in infrastructure improvements. We executed on our growth strategy when we have several pending acquisitions and closed several last year as well. Our stock outperformed the S&P 500 substantially in 2017, with more than a 30% total return, and we increased our dividend by 7%. And we continue to refine our corporate culture, including starting a program, which I'll again talk about in a few moments, called the Ripple Effect. And we've also instituted company-wide ethics training, trying to stay with our corporate values, and one of those corporate values, of course, is integrity. Now, this slide looks at some of the highlights from our financials in 2017. Our customer account was up about 1%, and with pending acquisitions added, we now expect customers to grow about 2 to 3% in 2018, and we will reach the 1 million customer mark we expect this year. Earnings per share showed solid improvement, up about 3% year over year. I'm also proud to point out that 2017 was our 72nd year in a row that we paid a dividend. As I mentioned already, we invested record capital last year. You know, we sometimes say that our company, Aqua America, is an infrastructure company at heart. And I think this slide shows very well how asset heavy we are. We own and operate things like reservoirs, water treatment plants, wells, pumping equipment, pipelines. This really is an asset-heavy company when you look at the slide. But these are the assets that enabled us to provide the level of customer service we do every day. In the last 2 years alone, we added 300 miles of pipe, one surface water treatment plant, four wastewater treatment plants, and numerous wells and tanks, all to benefit the service we provide our customers. Now, this pie graph breaks down our investment by category, really. These categories are the categories of capital improvements by project type that we'll complete between this year and 2020. As you can see, more than half of the capital we spend on upgrading our water mains and services. These are pipes that deliver clean water to our customers and take wastewater from our customers to our plants. This includes 150 miles of regular main replacement. These are pipes that have reached their useful life and need to be replaced or upsized. More than 30% of our spending will be used to improve both drinking water and treatment pipes. Let's talk a little bit about our strategy. This is our growth strategy. Investing in infrastructure is one of our three core competencies that at Aqua America that really drive our success. This slide shows our three core competencies at the top there, one of which is operational excellence, one of which is regulatory credibility. All of these feed our strategy, which is the three-pronged strategy below there. By being a leader in our three core competencies, we are able to be a solution for more and more customers as we look at our growth strategy. Those three strategies, or those three prongs, include municipal growth. This is buying municipal water and wastewater systems like Westchester and Media we've done over the years. Pursuing the acquisition of larger regulated utilities that we've done, like when we bought Consumers Water or Aquasource several years ago. And pursuing what we'll call market-based businesses. These would be the unregulated businesses in the market that would be complementary or close to the business we know. We always say if we stray from regulated, it would not be in a big way, but it would be supplementary and complementary to our base business. This is our historical growth. So we see here 4 years of customer growth divided into organic growth, that's in the light blue, and acquisitions in the dark blue. As a result of our good work in 2017 on the acquisition front, we expect to close deals that would bring us more than 25,000 customers this year in 2018, and that also includes customers from organic growth. Later this year, we expect, as I said, to reach the milestone of 1 million customers. Now, as we look at the next slide here, as part of our acquisition strategy over the next couple of years, over the last couple of years, we've shifted to a more direct strategy in terms of what the kind of acquisition we're looking for. Larger, we're targeting 2,500 customers to 25,000 customers. For many, many years, we did smaller acquisitions, albeit important, but as the company's now gotten larger, we need to do some larger acquisitions in order to continue to move our earnings needle. You can see here that with a total of more than $150 million and over 16,000 new customers, the new strategy is paying off. Safety, I mentioned it at the beginning of the presentation, very, very important. And Rick Fox has done a beautiful job in leading our safety effort along with his team. This is a high priority for not only us in management, but our employees throughout the organization. And I'm proud to say 2017 was a record year for safety at the company. We suffered fewer lost time injuries. We had the fewest days of lost work. We provided more than 16,000 hours of safety training. And we made significant improvements to our safety in the workplace. We also, this year, had record compliance. Chris Crockett, our chief environmental officer, is here, and he's done a beautiful job in leading that effort along with the operations team. But this year, our environmental compliance, 99.6% compliance for drinking water, 95% compliance in wastewater. And that's important to all of us who live and work in this region and drink the water. Now, the connection between our professional mission and our personal mission is very linked. This slide talks a lot about our volunteer work and our corporate philanthropy we try to tie to our volunteerism. In other words, we try to support charities with our foundation dollars, and then we look for volunteer opportunities with those same charities so that we can contribute and put our volunteer efforts toward as well. And then we encourage our employees to volunteer in groups so that we continue to bring esprit de corps to the company as well. So we really try to accomplish three things with our corporate giving and our volunteerism. And in 2017, we created the tagline, "The Ripple Effect." And you see that around our company. We believe that it accurately describes the impact that we can have with each of our charities or nonprofit organizations and the lives that we touch, hoping that our giving is passed along, similar to dropping a pebble in a pond and watching the ripples move through the pond. Now, our success as a water provider depends a lot on strong relationships with our customers. And this relationship often depends on communication, which is always improving at Aqua America. You know, years ago, the only communication customers received from the company was maybe a bill or a notice when we filed for rates. Those days are far, far behind us. Many of our customers are as committed to the environment as we are. They're interested in their water quality like we are. And so they expect to see information on a more regular basis and more updated information. So we try to provide that information in a variety of ways to meet the customer's needs, whether it's through our website, through texts, or through email, or through other means that our customers prefer. I'll wrap up with two final slides on the company. I think these are kind of underline the year that we had last year. We had outstanding performance in our stock last year. We produced a total shareholder return of 30% in 2017. And we outperformed the S&P 500. As you can see, that's the green line in the middle. And the leading utility index fund, which is the lowest line in red there, by a substantial amount. With regard to our dividend, we've increased the dividend continually. In fact, as I mentioned, in 2017, it was our 72nd year in a row to pay a dividend, and our 27th dividend increase in 26 years. Since 2012, our dividend has grown on a compounded annual growth rate of almost 8%. And finally, I will say that once again, end where I started by congratulating the team who lead this company. They do it with great commitment to our mission. And I'll just mention that we report earnings tomorrow on our quarterly earnings call. And for the full year, we expect earnings per share to be between $1.37 and $1.42. We expect to invest more than $500 million in infrastructure. We haven't had a rate case in Pennsylvania now for 7 years. We will file a rate case this year. That rate case will conclude next year. And we expect customer growth to grow this year in the range of between 2% and 3%. So that's a brief thumbnail sketch of what's been going on at Aqua America. And at this point, I would be happy to take any questions or comments you might have. If you have a question or comment, please make your way to the microphone here or over here. And if you could begin by stating your name and letting us know whether you are a shareholder or representing a shareholder. Any questions?
Yes, hello. Everybody can hear me? My name's Joe Begley. I am a shareholder. I've been a shareholder since 1998. Now, I have a question about this change in policy regarding splits. I'm not upset about it. I don't worry about it. We get our 7% a year. That's all good. But we had 6 splits in 9 years, and now in the last 13 years, we've had one, a 5 for 4. Okay, so the stock hit $39.55 this year, which is about as high as I can remember in the last 10, 12 years. I thought the concept of this was to reduce the price of the stock to create more investment activity or make it more available to retail investors. Apparently that is not in play now, and I was wondering what the reason for it. I don't see where it interferes with infrastructure or M&A activity in any way. And I was wondering why the policy has changed. And I was also wondering if computer share custodial fees were an issue in this decision.
All great questions, good comments. So let me start with our shareholder base remains about 50% retail and about 50% institutional. So we are well aware what our retail base wants in terms of dividend, and we try to provide that. It is a cost issue, so we pay by the share. So if we have a split and we have more shares outstanding, there is more cost to the company. I wouldn't say that that's the sole reason that we haven't done it. And it really hasn't been a shift in policy, but as you think about the value of the stock, it's run, our price to earnings ratio has run up and settled back. If you look at our 20-year history, at least in the last 10 years, our price to earnings ratio has been about 23 on average, pretty consistently. Today it's a little bit above that. So as you think about that rising and settling, we want to be very conscious that we're not doing a split. And as you also recall, the splits have not always been 2-for-1. They've been 3-for-2. We've done some things to be creative there. But it really hasn't been a shift in policy. The board does consider this, but I would bring you back to it is a cost issue as well as an affordability issue.
Yeah, I was just wondering, can you give us any information about the cost of the fee for?
I would be happy to connect you with Brian Dingerdissen and afterwards, and his team, our Vice President of Investor Relations afterwards, and Brian could probably give you more details than I can give you from the mic.
If it's expensive, then maybe it's better you don't do it. I understand that. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Kip Knight, a shareholder since back in the dinosaurs of the 70s. just an observation, then a question. Some of us were talking about and lamenting the old fabulous breakfast that the shareholders used to experience and the meet and greet and talking to everyone at the time. It seems that over a period of time, salaries have gone up, but the customer, shall we say, shareholder services at the annual meeting have gone down with not even enough places to sit. So it'd be nice to see a little more balance back to those of us here. The real question is, you are the chairman, CEO, and president. And I understand the chairman. I understand the CEO, who is in charge of an operation. But I was curious about the president, because in the president, in the old days, ran everything. However, I called AGWA to find out how president fit in your title, and I could not get an answer. The only answer that I came up with, not I came up with, but the AGWA person that I talked to at that time came up with, was that the CEO is the number one in charge, the president's the number two in charge. So therefore, I said, well, then Chris is both the first and second in charge, and they said, they guess so. So could you explain, please?
Sure. I often sit in the room and give myself orders. I think it's as simple as this. It's tradition. It's simply that I think Nick held the same three titles, and Nick's predecessors held the same three titles. I think it's really tradition. I know Mr. Hankowski holds the same three titles at his company. So it's tradition. There might be some legal check marks you put in boxes, but I think it's very simply just tradition.
So in other words, the president actually indicates nothing other than title inflation?
No, I wouldn't say it's title inflation. I think at the end of the day, we're still a relatively small company. We talk about ourselves in terms of size, market cap as being $6 billion, and we spend a great deal to invest in our customers. We're an asset-heavy company, as I mentioned. But at the end of the day, 1,600 employees, we're still a relatively small group, and we do everything. As a matter of fact, when I talk to the folks who join us, I often say to people, if you're not willing to roll up the sleeves and actually do work, this is probably not the place for you. And so we're much less concerned on a day-to-day basis with titles. We really just get down and get the work done. But when you think about the operational way we're set up, Dave really has the financial organization. He also has the integration piece of the organization.
Oh, I understand.
Right? And then Rick Fox has the operations piece, right? He's got the state presidents. We have a president in each state. He's got the state operating presidents. Chris has the legal, and Dan has the growth. And so that's kind of how we've designed the company.
Right. But, thank you. Really, a nice breakfast, meet and greet to talk to everybody would be advantageous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Point well taken. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Matt McGuire, shareholder. The question is in there, especially with this past winter, the asphalt, your paving one there, seems to have been breaking up. I know it's been over the years, and I had worked in the asphalt business for years. Is there a way we can get them to have the permanent in there sooner, or devise your scheduling that you're doing one section and can do that second part rather than have the potholes out there?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, this has been a brutal, brutal winter. Having been in the asphalt business, I think you can appreciate what we faced this year.
Yes.
Very difficult conditions. Wherever I drive, I find my car weaving between the landmines. But I can point you to Mark Luca, who is in the room here. Mark Luca is right here, and maybe after the meeting, Mark could take you through how we think about restoration and the work we do and the timing we do it in. But I do know this, that whenever there is a road that is less than perfect, either I or Mark or Rick Fox, or our phones are ringing off the hook. So we do really push our contractors to leave that road in a condition that is not only drivable, but that we could be proud of.
Actually, with the asphalt selling, I was in the selling of the asphalt.
Okay.
So all that stuff doing, I
made money. Good. Okay. You made a lot. You made a lot of money this winter.
Yeah.
Thank you. Other questions? All right.
What time is tea time?
Tea time. We have a board meeting today, so no golf today, I'm afraid. Thank you, though. Thank you all for being here today. We really appreciate it. Thank you for being shareholders, and look forward to continued success with the company. All the best.